I did a bit of a deep dive into black holes recently. Now, my scientific skills aren't the strongest around. The church's math is questionable after all. Just look at the doctrine of the Trinity. But I've been intrigued by these masses in interstellar space, these voids from which nothing can return. Black holes are objects so dense that their gravitational pull exceeds even that of the speed of light. Therefore, they cannot be observed. Light itself cannot escape their grasp. We see them only in the impact they have on objects around them, which is a way of saying that we see them only in absence. There is a point at which it is impossible to escape a black hole's pull, a point where the escape velocity matches that of the speed of light. This is what scientists refer to as the event horizon, the point of no return. If you get that close to a black hole, there is no hope of turning back. Today, in the Gospel of John, we meet Jesus at his very own event horizon, the point of no return. He and the disciples are gathered for his final meal, moments before the guards show up for his arrest and trial. And it is at this inflection point, this make or break moment in history, a moment that will determine not just the fate of a people, but how peoples everywhere keep track of time, BC and AD, the common era and that which came before. It is at this point that Jesus decides to pray. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Again, Scripture isn't where you find balanced mathematical equations. I in you and you in me, the Father and the Son, the individual and the community throughout space and time, 1 + 1 + 1 + 1 through eternity. It all equals one. Caught up in the mystical vision of the New Jerusalem, drawn from every tribe and tongue and people and nation into the life of the God in whom we live and breathe and find our being. Into the life of the God who humbled himself and walked among us. And yet, a black hole approaches. The power of death draws near. The Gospels paint a picture of the seeming inevitability of Jesus' death and crucifixion, that the Son of Man came to die. And every time I read this story during Holy Week, every time I sit with this Jesus' final prayer, I sit and wonder why. Why is the death of the Messiah inevitable? Why is this march toward Calvary drawn past the point of no return? The disciples turn their backs and scatter to the four winds. The mob yells, "Crucify him." And Jesus stands there on his own, bearing the violence and hatred of humankind, that evil which seems to be our particular legacy as a human species. Now, at the end of the day, I have no explanation that will make sense of what happens after today's prayer. I have no explanation that will suffice for the necessity of Jesus' death, just as I have no explanation for the events of this past week, or these past few months, or this past few years. Anytime the camera turns its attention to parents standing outside an elementary school, fearing that the worst has finally happened to them. I grew up surrounded by guns. I grew up with parents who tried to protect me from stray bullets fired in my very own neighborhood. The context for that upbringing was a civil war raging in the country of my birth. The context for American families seems simply to be that of living in a place obsessed with selective attention to individual freedoms without regard for collective responsibility. A context in which leaders are willing to fold their hands in prayer but offer to do little else. A context driven by moneyed interests and riven by those who desire power above all else. I wonder which is worse, the crimes committed in open conflict or those committed by leaders who turn a blind eye, the sins of omission. In either case, I fear that we are all guilty, all complicit. We are our very own worst enemies, caught up in a cycle of grief, outrage, and despair that repeats week after week, month after month, and year after year. Friends, I am tired of writing pastoral statements. I am tired of writing sermons after mass shootings, tired of attending vigils, tired of trying to say something that will make sense of senseless, ruthless violence. I fear sometimes that my efforts come off as performative, mere virtue signaling. Whatever my intentions, most of all, I fear that my words are sadly lacking and ineffective. I feel powerless. And today, in the middle of this grief, in the middle of this hopeless descent toward death, Jesus stands and prays at the point of no return, calm amid the storm as the agents of death approach, determined despite the seeming inevitability of the events about to unfold. Having loved his own, the gospel reads, he loved them to the end. A strange cosmic event is afoot in our text today, one that is easy to miss. Death, you see, is not the thing that propels Jesus forward. Violence is not the singularity that redeems his work. Rather, it is love that redeems. It is love that draws him near to the places no one desires to go. This is what pulls Jesus into the heart of violence. This is the thing that draws him near to us in the moments when we feel our deepest despair. It is that love alone that can conquer the fear that crucified him, the fear that holds us hostage still. It is love alone that can turn our silence into confession, our prayers into action and amendment of life. Come, Lord Jesus, give us the water of hope and eternal life. In the face of grief and outrage, be the calm amid our storm. In the face of violence and death, anchor us to that love that knows no bounds. Help us be brave. Help us be humble. Help us be kind. Steady our gaze on the cross. Steady our gaze on the broken and wounded long past the point the camera crews decide to leave. For only in doing so will we find a path of healing and transformation. Guide us to that new Jerusalem that stands just out of sight, the singularity hidden within the life of a God who bound his life to ours. Behold, I am coming soon, the last chapter of Scripture reads. My reward is with me to repay everyone according to their work. Come, Lord Jesus, come.